This is the Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW, the show that brings you valuable information about real estate, the financial markets, and other economic business of the day. Your host, Edward Brown, is a nationally recognized expert on money and investing who has appeared on CNN and has published numerous articles in national business magazines and newspapers. Now, your host for the Best of Investing, Edward Brown.
Welcome. You're listening to The Best of Investing. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-host, Nam Phan of Pacific Private Money and Rob Spinoza of Guaranteed Rate. Our phone number is 888-912-1190. Use that number to answer the trivia questions for a five-pack tanning certificate given away during this show. That certificate's not sponsored by the radio station, but by Tan Bella Tanning Salon with two locations in San Francisco and one in Marin. And in Rob's... We know Rob's intelligent, but we decided to have easy random trivia.
We don't know that.
No, we know that for a fact. All right. Let's see here. Nam, you were going to talk about Gavin Newsom. What's going on with him?
Gavin Newsom. Well, what's on Gavin Newsom's desk
is
this is a family show. Keep it.
Okay. Oh, then I don't have anything to say. Well, okay, the rated G version. Maybe this isn't rated G, but California lawmakers approved a statewide rent cap on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, covering millions of tenants, the biggest step yet in a surge of initiatives to address an affordable housing crunch nationwide. Okay. So the bill limits annual rent increases to 5% after inflation and offers new barriers to eviction, providing a bit of housing security in a state with the nation's highest housing prices and a swelling homeless population.
But there's certain exceptions, right? I mean, if anything like built before 86 or something like that, that is exempted.
Built or leased. Built or leased before 86. I don't know. Why would they tie it to that?
Because if you have a long-term tenant. But
we see some of that. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the interesting things, not to go off the topic too much, because I'm curious about... the whole idea of this, but one of the interesting things that we see in our industry with that very fact is people going to qualify when they don't have long-term leases in effect, because we require, most conventional mortgages require a one-year lease. So sometimes you see people who have been long-time tenants and they're, you know, they've been month-to-month for years and years.
Exactly.
They can't even locate the lease, let alone...
Yeah,
right.
Well, but a lot of landlords want month-to-month because it's easier
to
evict them.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Hence the other provision in that. Now... My thinking on all these is that while they may be well-meaning, there are always other shoes to drop with that. I don't know the details of that.
How about they just relax the building codes and bring down the costs of permits and all that stuff so that it makes more desirable to build?
That's just, this bill addresses, affordability and, limiting rent increases, but you have to have a multi-pronged approach, just like you're saying.
Right.
I mean, housing shortage in California is still significant.
Right.
So this is, like you're saying, it's well-meaning, but if there's less profit in it for people to build, then that's just going to exacerbate the housing crisis.
And also, we've talked about this before, but I'll repeat it again. Does that mean if I'm a landlord and I own apartments and I'm limited as to how much I can charge, do I get to go to PG&E and insurance companies and companies that fix my roof and say, no, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to increase your price more than 5% of what you charged me last year?
And that's kind of where I'm going with that whole thing, is there's this comprehensive approach towards home ownership or housing in general. And if you have increasing prices and your rent doesn't keep up with that, now you've got, I would think, other impacts on the market itself. Now, your business, Nam, you guys deal with business purpose loans and investment property loans and things like that. So I would imagine.
Well, they also do owner-occupied.
Owner-occupied, now I know as well, but a big portion of probably what you do is investors who are going to be leasing out those properties, and that would presumably impact them.
Yeah, so how is this going to impede their ability to make a profit on projects
and you don't want people turning into slum landlords.
Right.
And say, well, I'm sorry, I can't fix the heater.
Yeah.
I'm not getting enough rent. I'm losing money on this every day.
So market forces should include adding more inventory to the undersupplied California.
I mean, what do you do if you have a situation where there's rent control and it's so bad that The landlord literally cannot make his mortgage payment anymore. Let's say interest rates go up and he had a fluctuating rate,
right?
What's he supposed to do? And if he walks away from that, the bank doesn't want that.
Yeah.
We do see a bit of that now, too, because we've gotten more inquiries about non-owner-occupied properties where you have an owner of a rental property and they have an adjustable rate mortgage or they're looking to refinance a loan and they're considering their other options. And that's always the concern I hear from landlords is how do I lock in or fix in my mortgage costs because I don't know what's going to happen going forward and I can't leave my rental budget or my investment budget at the whim of the market should rates go up in the future.
And your answer is?
my answer at today's rates is if you can get it to work in a fixed, and most of them tend to approach it that way too, that's what they're aiming to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it into a 30-year fixed rate if they can, if they plan on holding the property, of course.
Totally makes sense.
You know, on the private lending side, we're seeing, and maybe we can touch on this in the next segment, but we're seeing more and more 30-year rental products for investors who want to go out and acquire and buy and hold. So I don't know, are you seeing that on the conventional side too?
Well, I mean, on conventional side, that's our go-to product on almost everything, right? So 30-year fixed, and depends on, we don't see a lot of non-owner occupied purchases or refinances that go into ARM loans for those reasons. Yeah. I just think the average landlord wants to know exactly what they're going to be paying in their housing cost.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to cut to our first commercial break, and here's our first easy trivia question. Of course, I don't really know the answer to this because I was never a Boy Scout, but how many fingers does a Boy Scout extend in a salute? Right, so there's a Boy Scout salute, right?
It's not a one-finger one.
Yeah, exactly. It's not one finger. There you go. Okay. Call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate, which is worth over $100. Hmm. Question again is, how many fingers does a Boy Scout extend in a salute? All right. Stay with us. The Best of Investing is going to be right back.
For more information on today's topic, call Edward Brown directly at 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. The Best of Investing will continue in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Have you wondered how the banks make all their money? Have you ever wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, our clients are doing just that. For over a decade, clients of Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured by primarily Bay Area real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent, above-market returns on your savings and retirement accounts. Let's face it, most of us are not on track to achieve the level of retirement income we'll need to fund the lifestyle we want. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost the income in your retirement accounts. Annual yields of 7.5% and more are not uncommon using these simple strategies. Join the thousands of Bay Area residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing today. For more information, call us at 415-883-2150 or visit our website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
Equal housing lender. License Cal DRE 0189-7444. All investments have inherent risk and your results may vary. The station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
Come on board the Hornblower Cruises for a few hours of unbeatable San Francisco views and culinary excellence. Enjoy a multi-course meal, first-class service, and after-dinner dancing for an unforgettable night on the water. Treat yourself to a four-course dinner while taking in iconic landmarks aboard one of our San Francisco dinner cruises. Escape the restaurant crowds of the cities as you indulge in a meal crafted on board by our chefs with local, seasonal ingredients. Whether you want to take a spin on the dance floor or take in the sights from the top deck, a Hornblower dinner cruise is an experience you won't soon forget. There's dinner on a boat, then there's dinner on a Hornblower yacht. Visit hornblower.com to book your cruise today. www.hornblower.com.
Attention Bay Area homeowners, Pacific Private Money has a loan program that can help you buy your next home right now. No need to wait to sell your existing home first. Our unique bridge loan lets you tap the equity in your current home to provide up to 100% financing on the home you wish to buy. We're friendly, fast, and ready to help you right now. Call us today for more information. 415-883-2150. That's 415-883-2150. Or visit us at pacificprivatemoney.com.
Equal Housing Lender. License Cal DRE 01897444.
Now, back to the best of investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the best of investing. Edward Brown here along with Nam Phan and Rob Spinoza. Here is our first trivia question. How many fingers does a Boy Scout extend in a salute?
I mean, my odds are pretty good on this, right? Because she got five fingers.
That's it.
I'm going to go with three.
Three. That is correct. Okay. Very good.
Very good.
Also here, hey, guys, going to make a quick mention here for the Urban Tavern, which is located in downtown San Francisco near Union Square. They have local food and beer scene with seasonal menus and more than a dozen Bay Area craft beers on tap. Check them out. And by the way, if you wear any kind of San Francisco gear, you know,
Flowers in your hair?
No, not so much that, but sports gear. You buy one, get one free on game day. Be it baseball, football, or basketball.
Okay.
Check them out at urbantavernsf.com. Okay, so when we cut to break, we almost came to blows here on the radio. And I don't know. Are you a communist or something? Come on. No.
So what started it? I'll tell you what started it. Another news story this week. California passes landmark gig economy rights bill. So Assembly Bill 5, as it's known, will affect firms like Uber and Lyft, which are based in California and depend on those workers in the gig economy. Mm-hmm. So if people don't know, gig economy is like, it's a new term for people who do kind of side jobs. Originally, it was, a side
job. Like the music. I got a gig. I got a music gig. That's a gig, right?
Millennials called it a side hustle.
Side hustle.
Oh.
So the gig economy is kind of new. I mean, it's giving people the ability to make money on the side working, presumably part-time, but a lot of people, or a lot of firms, tech firms in particular, have people working more than just part-time. It's
okay,
full.
So going on to like Uber and Lyft, all right?
Yeah.
Now, in the old days, it used to be, you know, if I'm independent where I can make my own hours, mm-hmm. choose when to work, who to work for, so to speak.
Right.
Let's say a typical attorney or CPA. That's probably a good example, right? If I don't want to work one day, I don't have to. No one's going to fire me, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That, to me, fits Uber and Lyft. I don't have to work for them.
Get a 1099 from your, right?
Yeah.
From your quote unquote, not employer, but you get a 1099 for those you perform work for.
Sometimes not.
Well, but depends. In the case of an Uber driver, you would be getting that, right?
If they're
part of the gig economy, I believe that's how it works.
And what happens? Okay, so one of the weird things about these rules used to be also, gee, if you only worked for one company, that kind of fits you more into an employee.
Right.
But what if I drive for Uber and Lyft?
Right. So is the idea, Nam, that they are trying to say you are an employee, so therefore you have benefits. You have
taxes is really kind of what it sounds to, because then the employer and the employee.
But
have
because
to pay.
If you're an independent contractor, now you're just getting
the
income, and then you have to expense it. You have to pay taxes.
Right.
You have to do everything on your own at your own discretion.
And you're not, so you're not covered by workers' comp,
right?
No labor board,
right?
And then
no retirement. No 401ks.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, the quote, Big Brother, let's put it that way. Big Brother wants everybody to be an employee. Everybody.
Well, everybody's paying into the system.
Right.
Exactly.
And they get more payroll taxes, the workers' comp, and yada, yada, yada. Right. And also, if you're an employee now with the new tax law, you ain't going to be able to write much off, if anything, versus if you're independent, you might have certain expenses.
Right. So this article goes on to say that should these gig workers be redefined or classified as W-2s, this could drive up costs for companies like Uber or Lyft or any
of
these.
Which brings the cost up
by 30%.
I would think that would be at least that much. Because think about it for a minute. If you're an employee, or excuse me, let's back it up for a minute.
If you're an independent contractor.
Okay, if you're an independent contractor, if I'm driving for Uber, if I understand it correctly, like I'm not an Uber driver, but if I was, don't I pay for my own gas?
Yes, you do. Okay. But you expense that on your, when I see their tax returns, I see it on their Schedule C.
That's right.
Right.
But what happens if I'm an employee? I'm not going to be able to write that off now.
But is it a reimbursable expense?
Unreimbursed business expense. But you can't do those anymore.
Not anymore.
Pretty
exactly.
Pretty much.
So you, I mean, you lose that tax deduction.
Unless you're a service-based, right? So in, if you're a
Because
you're the tax guy.
I know, but the rules changed quite a bit. If you're an employee, I think they're getting rid of those
But I think
expenses.
The point of our discussion is that all of these things are, again, what come into play when you start talking about this legislative changes.
Yeah.
Because now the gig economy is a real thing. Our economy, better or worse, is driven, no pun intended, by a lot of these services. And if you change the law dramatically, the business models for all these companies and the way people operate, I think I read somewhere that Uber is the number one expensed business expense in the nation.
Wow.
So,
really?
Not
so
meals.
You mean me as a client of Uber?
Right.
I mean,
yeah. So when employees submit expense reports to their employer, Uber is the number one thing.
Now, you know what? I could see that. I mean, yeah, you'd still think that there would be a lot of meals and entertainment.
Meals and hotels and things like that. But I mean, I read that somewhere. I mean, how it breaks down.
Sorry, but, you know what it could be? It could be because the employer, like, let's say I work for NOM. If he sends me to Vegas for an appointment or something, he's paying for it.
Could be.
He's not having me pay it reimbursed. Right.
But I wonder if it was the same expense before, but it was taxi.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
taxis are a little bit more expensive, or people using it more just because it's so easy to use.
Right. It is. I mean, I spent hundreds of dollars on Uber when I took my daughter to Washington, D.C., because, you know, I didn't know the area. We didn't want to drive. We just thought it would be a lot easier. Hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we were going maybe 8 times a day.
I think that these things. So our industry has been directly impacted by this debate, and it happened years ago, mostly during the downturn, because traditionally a lot of guys who did what I did were independent contractors, and they loved it, right? Because just for all the reasons you said, you know. Dry cleaning? Hey, I need that suit, right?
That's not
deductible. I'm not saying I did it. I'm saying they did it.
Well, that's not deductible. I mean,
but people loved being independent contractors. But in our business, one of the things that prevents employers like mine, guaranteed rate, from allowing us to be independent contractors is that to originate an FHA insured loan, a government insured loan, you have to be an employee of the bank.
Okay, so now we're
W-2'd, and it's been that way for a good period of time. But we've seen, as we've worked our way past the worst of the downturn, a lot of brokers are starting to call their employees, quote-unquote employees, 1099 independent contractors again. Can't do a government loan.
There you're really knocking on the door of the IRS.
Hey.
Because being an employee and then being independent, and if things haven't changed, that's a red flag.
Okay, but the point is that this is all, when you look at this legislation, it's all at getting exactly what you described, Robert, getting more people to pay into the system, saying, hey, if these drivers of Uber are captive, if this is all they're doing, or if they're doing this enough of the time, they are employees.
Right.
And the business model doesn't support that.
It's all conjecture, and that's a 3-syllable word, and that's about all I know.
Well, so you're saying the businesses can't support that, so what happens? A lot of these drivers might be let go. Maybe the business can't support
but Uber, though, if you work, you get paid. So they don't have to let people
My point is this, that now you've got this legislation that is flying in the face of a service that is in demand. Mm-hmm. So if the legislation doesn't accommodate that, I mean, having this come to a log jam, loggerheads, is not going to help anybody.
Right.
So you got to figure out a solution to make this work fairly.
And we will figure that out after the next
segment. That's on the next show.
That's on the next show. Okay, here's our second trivia question. Again, we're going to get it easier with these guys here. What kind of animal is pictured on the wrapper of a Klondike bar? I figured I have to give you one easy one there. All right, call 888-912-1190. Be the first caller with the correct answer. You're going to win that tanning certificate worth over $100. What kind of animal is pictured on the wrapper of a Klondike bar? All right, stay with us. You're listening to The Best of Investing. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Are you tired of the low yields that banks are paying on your savings and CDs? Are you frustrated by the uncertainty in the stock market? Would you like to learn about a simple, high-yield investment opportunity that features both safety and security features? At Pacific Private Money, our clients earn yields starting at 7%, and their capital is secured by real estate at conservative loan-to-values. If you're looking for a secure way to boost the yields on your savings and IRAs, you owe it to yourself to visit our website at PacificPrivateMoney.com or call us at 415-883-2150. That's PacificPrivateMoney.com or call us at 415-883-2150.
Equal housing lender. Licensed CalDRE 01897444. All investments have inherent risk and your results may vary. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
This is Mark Hanf, co-host of The Best of Investing. Can you believe how long we've been living in this era of low interest rates? It's been for most of this decade. And when we were all expecting rates to go up this year, now we're finding out that low rates will likely continue through 2020. If you're among the rapidly growing segment of people entering retirement age, I'm sure you're concerned over the challenge of growing your retirement savings. And you're not alone. Pacific Private Money has a solution for those seeking ways to significantly boost yields you earn on your retirement savings. And we do it with safety and security features not found in traditional investments like stocks and mutual funds. For more information on how you can supercharge your retirement savings with annual yields of 7% or more, that's right, 7% or more, contact us at 415-883-2150 or visit us at PacificPrivateMoney.com.
Equal housing lender. Licensed CalDRE 01897444. All investments have inherent risk and your results may vary. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Nam Phan and Rob Spinoza. Second trivia question, what kind of animal is pictured on the wrapper of a Klondike bar? And Nam, you had to ask your 10-year-old daughter.
I phoned it in. She's 11.
Phone in a friend. 11, sorry.
And the answer is a polar bear,
that
right?
That is correct.
Nice job, Chloe. Good job.
Good job, Chloe. All right. Want to make a mention here also for the Hornblower Cruises. For a few hours of unbeatable San Francisco views and culinary experience, enjoy a multi-course meal, first-class service, and after-dinner dancing for an unforgettable night on the water. Check them out at hornblower.com. All right, we're going to go right to email time here because all this Uber and independent contractor stuff just boils my tushy. Okay, Nam, a question comes in from a prospective investor, I guess, who's wondering about the fund that you guys put together. It says, are there any tax advantages to investing in your fund?
Oh, here we go with these taxes.
I know,
taxes. So first, even backing up a little bit, they're asking about the fund. What is the fund that we're talking about? It's the Pacific Private Money Fund, now in its seventh year, it's a mortgage debt fund made up of loans that we make throughout California. Currently, we have about 90 loans in the portfolio, about 51 million assets under management. Pays about 7.5% annualized return to investors. And it's because it's K-1, they're members of an LLC, they're taxed as ordinary income. But there's been some tax changes in 2018 that allows certain types of investments to for the investors to only have to pay a portion of the taxes. So in this case, they only have to report on 80%, and it's called the qualified business income deduction.
So that's 80% of the ordinary income that comes over on the K-1 form.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's with our fund, there's certain qualifications. There's a threshold. If you make above a certain dollar amount, then you can't write that off. But we're actually going to go into detail on it in October. We have several events coming up where we'll not only go into detail about it with respect to our fund, but we have a tax attorney coming in, Steve Moskowitz. We're holding three events in October. Actually, I'll give you the dates now. Usually, we talk about the events at the end of the segment or the end of the show, but we're really excited about this. We have one on October 16th in San Rafael at the Embassy Suites. Rob, you'll get an invite. Hope you can make it.
Oh, wonderful.
October 23rd in Fremont at the Fremont Marriott, and then October 30th in Walnut Creek at the Walnut Creek Embassy Suites. Now, all of the events are from 7 to 9 p.m. And it's going to be really good information. Not only will we talk about tax advantages of investing in our fund, but just some of the tax advantages of investing in real estate. So okay. A lot of our listeners have probably know of Steve Moskowitz. He's been in the Bay Area for, I think, 30 plus years or so. And he knows tax.
So now, so a typical investor, you stop me if I'm wrong, but you typically accredited investor, correct?
Yes.
Invest in your fund. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, they're going to get a K-1 mm-hmm. because they're quote unquote a partner, right? Yeah. And they have a percentage interest based on their investment. And they're going to take that ordinary income and they're going to file it on their Schedule E as income. And then they are going to be able to, what, take 80% of that?
Depending on their income threshold.
Yeah. Okay.
Earnings.
Got it.
And they're considered a member because it's an LLC
right.
versus a partner.
Oh, I got
just
it.
A so matter of semantics.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. Let's be precise. Yeah. And so then this income comes over and it adds to their total income.
Basically, yeah. so yeah. if they earned, let's say, make it simple, if they earned 8%, mm-hmm. then they only have to report 6.4% on the tax
got
return
it.
And
got
pay
it.
Taxes
got
on that.
Okay, cool.
So that adds, you know, whatever tax bracket you're in, boost your income.
Yep. Yeah.
Net income.
So, yeah, that's something that we highlight, but I don't know if it resonates with a lot of people that
well, that's why
can
I bring,
actually do that.
That's why I bring it up. I mean, you know, I think that as an alternative investment, getting the word out is critical, number one. But then, two, I think, you know, we see a lot of borrowers that have tax returns and they're starting to venture into that kind of stuff. Alternative investments, you see them, they have a K-1. And what's very interesting about when most of our, you know, ordinary borrowers have K-1 is we'll say, hey, you filed a K-1 in 2018. And they'll say, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But uh-huh. you know what I mean? They got income from a fund or exactly. something like that. And you know, they don't think of it that way. They don't think of themselves as a member or a partner. They yeah. just, it's an investment.
Yep.
Gotcha. How do people get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of us online at 415. Uh-huh. That's our phone number. At www.pacificprivatemoney.com. Or they can call us at 415-883-2150. If anyone is interested in coming to the events, give us a call. They can go online, but just call us directly, 415-883-2150, and let us know which location and date that they would like to attend these seminars.
Very good. Rob, yeah. Email comes in for you. It says, what is the difference between your company and other independent mortgage brokers?
Okay. So first off, I am residential mortgage, primary, secondary investment properties, 1 to 4 units. That's what we do. I'm with Guaranteed Rate. We are one of the largest independent mortgage banks in the country. So what I tell my clients, they ask that question frequently. And they'll say, you know, how do I, or are you a broker or are you a banker? What's your role? There really are only 3 channels to get a residential mortgage these days, even though you know there's a million companies doing it. You either go to a retail establishment, Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo. You go to a broker. That's a person that has a lot of different lending options but doesn't have any of their own money to lend. They are placing your loan with an institution that will fund it. And then between those two are the independent mortgage banks. And the way we work is we have sources of funds from large banks, credit unions, investment firms, et cetera. But they have given us delegated authority to lend that money as a correspondent. So basically, we can on any given day look at a rate sheet and see various investors that would have the best pricing or fit your scenario best. And then we can fund the loan with their money. So you're dealing with us start to finish, and we're not relinquishing control of the file. So that's really how residential lending works these days. There is no inherently one better option than another. So some people think, hey, if I work with a broker, there's a middleman involved. Well, there's always a middleman involved. That middleman is called an originator, and that's the person you're working with to actually get the loan. But the source of funds for the originator can be any of the you know, investment firms, banks, et cetera. So no inherently better one option. Do your research, but that's who I work for and how we do it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. Last trivia question here is, what birds were traditionally used to detect dangerous gases in coal mines? All right, stay with us. The Best of Investing. I'll be right back.
Tap into the local food and beer scene at San Francisco's Urban Tavern, just steps from Union Square. Featuring a menu of locally inspired cuisine, Urban Tavern has the distinctive personality of a metropolitan gastropub. It's where the local food and beer scene is celebrated, with seasonal menus and more than a dozen Bay Area craft beers on tap. Convenient to Union Square shopping and walking distance to the theaters, Urban Tavern is a great place to enjoy happy hour before a show. And get this, if you show your game ticket or wear your San Francisco team gear, you can enjoy a buy one, get one free drink on game day, be it baseball, football, or basketball. Of course, Urban Tavern will be showing the games live. Oh, and don't forget, during the holiday season, Urban Tavern is convenient to the ice rink and holiday shopping in Union Square. Make an evening of it with shopping, dinner, and a show. Find Urban Tavern on Open Table and the beer app Untapped. You can also go to urbantavernsf.com.
You probably heard about earning high returns investing in real estate through crowdfunding and other online platforms, but do you know where that real estate is located? At Pacific Private Money, we invest primarily in local Northern California real estate, and our clients earn yields of 7.5% secured by deeds of trust at conservative values. To find out more about one of the best-kept secrets in secured high-yield investing, go to pacificprivatemoney.com or call 415-883-2150.
Equal Housing Lender. License Cal DRE 01897444. All investments have inherent risk, and your results may vary. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
For over a decade, Pacific Private Money has been providing investors with returns exceeding 7.5%. Pacific Private Money has a high-yield solution with safety and security features not found in many traditional investments. Our clients currently earn yields averaging 7.5%, secured by Northern California real estate at conservative values. This is a mortgage-secured investment currently paying 7.5%. For more information, go to pacificprivatemoney.com or call 415-883-2150.
Equal Housing Lender. License Cal DRE 01897444. All investments have inherent risk, and your results may vary. This station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
Now, back to the Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown, on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to the Best of Investing. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Nam Phan and Rob Spinoza. Our last trivia question was, what birds were traditionally used to detect dangerous gases in coal mines?
Canaries.
Canaries, yeah. Very good.
Police had a great song about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I wonder, it's kind of funny, I'm thinking, how did they figure that out? And what if the canary lived? I mean, there's something about a canary that can live more than other
ones.
No, it's
just that they have a really fast respiration rate and really small lungs. So like even if my wife has told me that birds, you know, she used to be a vet, people would bring birds in that had like collapsed or fainted or sometimes died just by vacuuming in the room because it kicks up all the dust.
Oh,
and
really?
They're super sensitive to that. And so I'm sure that's how they figured out with canaries, just like dust or anything like that, and they just. So yeah,
it's not very nice to the canary.
No, I know.
Bad time to be a canary, but
bad time to be a canary.
I have a joke. So this canary and a penguin walk into a coal mine.
Oh no!
Just kidding.
Yeah, it was
it's
funny.
Your job to police the show. When we start telling jokes,
I know,
you got
it. I'm sorry, because I did have one too, where this guy was talking about he was complaining about taxes. He goes, I love taxes. He goes, I visit there once a year. He goes, I mean dollars. He goes, yeah, it was in Dollars, Texas. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Ta-dum bunch. All right. So, Rob, we had to cut to a break, but Nam, you're going to ask him a quick question.
Yeah, so you were saying that you're comparing the different options that bars have. But, you know, what I found is oftentimes it's the person you're working with.
Yeah, I mean, right? A lot of it has to deal with expertise. And, I mean, you kind of say that term and you're like, oh, expertise. But it really does. And one of the reasons why I enjoy working for an independent mortgage bank, there's two primary reasons. One is our pricing is really strong. So we're able to compete with the best across the board on a lot of the stuff that most people need. But beyond that, the range of product that we have and our ability as originators, individuals, to learn that. Not everybody does, but it's something that I enjoy doing with a lot of the other programs that accommodate scenarios that may be a little more difficult. We were talking about self-employed individuals, independent contractors, people who get income from K-1s, that kind of stuff. You know, you call a call center on that stuff and they might look at you like you're speaking Greek.
Right.
But we see a lot of that here in the Bay Area and we're able to qualify it. And that makes a big difference. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. But when somebody's calling into a call center, sort of alluding to some of the big
Yeah, well, you have to remember that a vast majority of the mortgages that get done in the country are conforming or government loans. What does that mean? It means that there's great uniformity in the guidelines. The loans will only go to X loan to value. The FICO score is only allowed to go to one level. The debt to income ratio can only go to one. So that's what most people see most of the time.
Yeah.
The Bay Area, California is a bit different than that. And we see a lot of scenarios that deviate from that straight and narrow path. And of course, jumbo lending is all individual investor guideline driven. In other words, the entity that's making that loan is controlling what they want.
Got it.
So that's where it really helps to have someone who knows that, hey, you won't fit the guidelines for Wells Fargo, but you will for Chase,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. And that's what we do as an independent mortgage.
Right. And you call Wells, they're never going to tell you.
Well, you may find out late in the game that, I mean, nothing against Wells, what they do, you know, what they do strongly, they do really strongly. But yes, if you go there and you're just not a good fit for them, you're not going to get a loan.
Yeah.
Good point.
So how do people get a hold of you?
I am at Guaranteed Rate. So rate.com and my slash Rob Spinoza. You can also find me on Yelp and Google.
Yelp and Google. And how are rates these days?
Rates are great. Rates are approaching the lows that we saw in 2013 and 2016.
Wow.
And so everybody that is in a conventional mortgage, unless they're, you know, under 3.75%, under 4%, et cetera, should be at least revisiting their scenario and saying, would I benefit from getting into a refinance? If you have an ARM loan now, thinking about going into a fixed, if you have a 30-year thinking about going into a 15, maybe it will work, maybe it won't, but take a look at it because rates are really favorable.
And one more question.
Sure.
So, you know, whatever rate you're at, and obviously this is going to vary by your circumstances, but how much of a rate drop would make sense for you to even look at whether or not you should pursue a refi?
It does vary. It varies wildly. So what I tell folks is that if you are, well, depends on the loan size. So let's say, for example, you have a loan that's $1.25 million. Mm-hmm. You might benefit from a 0.25% drop in interest rate. Right. But if you have a loan of $250,000, probably not.
Yeah. Right.
Because the cost you're going to incur to refinance wouldn't make the savings worthwhile.
Title insurance.
Yeah, title insurance. And just go, you know, a lot of the smaller loans that we do now don't require an appraisal. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
But we see a lot of jumbo loans here, too. So we see our clients starting to get interested in this stuff if their rates are dropping by 0.25% or more, believe it or not.
Wow.
It used to be the old adage was 2%, right?
But yeah.
2%.
The, rate spectrum is so compressed now. I mean, everybody's at 3%, 4%, and 5% that's left, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in a 7% loan, something's wrong and we probably can't fix it.
Sure.
You know, but if you're a typical borrower out there, we see a lot of, for example, 4.25% 30-year fixed rate loans that are now refinancing into 3.75.
Oh,
very
sense.
Common scenario. And it makes good sense for most of them. The payoff or the recoup on the investment is probably 2.5-3 years.
Okay, and that's Rob Spinoza of Guaranteed Rate. Yep. Hey, Nam, do you have a deal of the week?
Yeah, we have a few deals of the week. And really, without getting too specific in a deal type, well, the first one is just a scenario that we've brought up before where you have people who are looking to take the money that they have in California and park it in real estate in other states.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a gentleman who has a ton of equity in his home here in California, his primary residence, and wants to buy an investment property in Oregon.
Okay.
So he's taking out a second, and we're going to, we don't lend out of state, but we can, but he can take the proceeds and use them towards the purchase in another state. And,
he's just going to make an all cash purchase when he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vacation rental or a vacation property, second home in Oregon. So just want to highlight the fact that we're seeing many of those where people are either buying second homes out of state or moving out of state altogether.
Yeah.
And we can do those loans. Typically, they're coming to us for a bridge loan.
Now, I was just going to say, you guys are really good about accessing the equity in a house before it's sold and all that. You can cross collateralize and things of that nature. That's where it gets difficult in lending. One of the most common scenarios we see is what I call the buy before sell.
Yeah.
And people really get stuck because they can't liquidate the equity they have in their existing real estate, but they want to get into the new one. And they're faced with this dilemma. Hey, do I have to move twice? Yeah. You know, sell first. And
there's no prepayment penalty with Pacific Private Money.
Right.
So, you know, it costs a little more for the points, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, well, the alternative is having to take your chance on the market and move put storage or
moving. Yeah, right. Cost of storage, cost of moving twice. You know, and the hassle of factor.
It's incredible. Lately, the real estate community is really picking up on that residential real estate. They're understanding that a bridge loan can really solve this problem and create inventory.
Right.
I mean, what do they do in the past?
I'll let you answer your way, and I'll tell you what I've seen is that it depends on the market. And right now, we've been in such a strong seller's market for so long that buyers don't have the time to like do contingent sales or do other things like that. So they get stuck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's that. They don't want to have to sell twice or move twice.
Right.
And also, they see that there's value in maybe the cost of a bridge loan because it's high cost loan. Can be offset by the fact that they now have time to move into the property, stage the one that they're departing, or just the fact that
the properties go up. You know, if they're going up in value just a little bit,
yeah,
that also helps. Okay, guys, we're going to cut to our last break. Don't have a trivia question, but stay with us because you're listening to The Best of Investing. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to The Best of Investing with your host, Edward Brown. For more information, visit bestofinvesting.com. That's bestofinvesting.com. More in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW.
Hi, listeners. This is Edward Brown, your host. I had a 40-year-old listener sign up for a $500,000 life insurance policy guaranteed not to increase for the next 35 years at a cost of only $51 per month. Holy smokes, that's less than $2 per day guaranteed for 35 years. Imagine, this is probably the last life insurance policy this listener will ever need to buy because the premium is fixed for the next 35 years and it is from a well-known, highly rated company. For your free quote, call our toll-free number, 888-912-1190, and make sure to leave your name and ask for a free quote. I'll get right back to you. Hurry, as I suspect these rates will not last long. Again, call 888-912-1190 and ask you for your free life insurance quote.
Have you wondered how the banks make all their money? Have you ever wanted to be on the bank side of the deal? At Pacific Private Money, our clients are doing just that. For over a decade, clients at Pacific Private Money have consistently earned high yields on their investments, earning returns of 7.5% or more, secured by primarily Bay Area real estate at conservative values. As most baby boomers know, it's important to earn consistent, above-market returns on your savings and retirement accounts. Let's face it, most of us are not on track to achieve the level of retirement income we'll need to fund the lifestyle we want. High-yield alternative investment strategies like Pacific Private Money's mortgage-backed investments might be just the thing you need to boost the income in your retirement accounts. Annual yields of 7.5% and more are not uncommon using these simple strategies. Join the thousands of Bay Area residents who have learned one of the best-kept secrets in investing today. For more information, call us at 415-883-2150 or visit our website at pacificprivatemoney.com.
Equal housing lender. License Cal DRE 018-97444. All investments have inherent risk and your results may vary. The station does not guarantee nor endorse any investment strategy.
You're listening to The Best of Investing on AM 1220 KDOW. Once again, your host, Edward Brown.
Welcome back to The Best of Investing. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Nam Phan and Rob Spinoza. And we didn't have a trivia question, but Rob, you have an interesting article about Aretha Franklin.
I saw this a while back, and I didn't read it, but I thought, you know what? I'm coming into Best of Investing today. This is the kind of thing that we'd have a field day with. Aretha Franklin, when she passed away a year ago, was running around with almost $1 million of uncashed checks.
Why?
Just running around like they were in her purse or something?
Yeah, she just didn't. So this article goes on to say that she had... one of them was from Carlin Music and Feel Good Films in the amount of almost $286K. And then the other one was $703,000 from Sound Exchange and the Screenwriters Guild. So royalties, presumably, right? On stuff that was used in movies.
And it was in her pocket?
Uncashed. And she died intestate as well.
Wow. Right? Which means without a will.
Without a will, yeah. So I don't know, you know. What do you say about this?
I say, fellow whenever investors, anybody gives you a check, you cash it.
Yeah.
What more is there to say than that?
Whoa.
Wow.
So, you know, it's funny when you see these celebrity situations, because I think the other guy that died without a will was Prince. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, it's like they have these properties. They have all these royalties coming in, mm-hmm. and they live unconventional lives. And it's like, what happens when they die, right? Everybody's equal.
Just goes in the casket with them.
But is that like a regular person dying with a $100 uncashed check in their pocket? Like,
well, you know? Not a million compared to $100.
Most checks, right? There's a timeline on it, isn't there?
Six or 9 months. But the thing is, you could get them replaced. Doesn't mean that the person doesn't owe you the money anymore.
So the executor of shouldn't have a will, but the court could do that.
Yeah, we go back and say, hey, it shouldn't be a windfall for the company that wrote the check, right? Yeah. It belongs to her,
That's kind of all I got, guys. I mean, other than that, it's just dry real estate stuff that I dug up over the course of the last
year. Again, you got some events coming up?
Yeah. So October, big month for events. So the first one is October 16th, which is a Wednesday. That will be in San Rafael at the Embassy Suites. October 23rd, which is another Wednesday, will be in Fremont at the Fremont Marriott. Last one for October is the 30th at the Walnut Creek Embassy Suites. 7 to 9 p.m. Again, it's a joint event with Steve Moskowitz. We're going to be talking about not only the fund and some of the tax advantages of investing in the fund, but just some of the tax advantages or things people didn't know are possible from a tax standpoint. So Steve Moskowitz is going to cover a number of those.
Cool. So what do you guys do with the events? You do a presentation, then do Q&A?
Yeah, exactly. So come for hors d'oeuvres, meet and greet at the beginning, and then we jump to our presentation, and usually the last 30 or so minutes is Q&A. A lot of really good questions come out.
You, Mark, and I are going to be there.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you have a tax professional, and you guys just, between the four of you, you handle the questions that potential investors...
That's it.
That's great.
Steve will be available to answer questions, on the sly, so to speak, as well as, generic questions.
Yeah.
And he told us this before. He says, a lot of times I go to these things and people, they don't want to ask questions in the generic one. They just come over to me on the side and go, I can ask you a question about my own personal stuff. You know?
Yeah. He's funny. He's entertaining. So I think people will really enjoy meeting him.
Well, I think that, with all this stuff, you go into a meeting like this, or certainly when people call me and they talk, really that's our value is providing insight and information. You have a line that you have to avoid crossing when you're giving advice to someone and stuff, and they have to respect that too. But certainly with these types of investments and things like that, the best thing you can do is get yourself in the right environment and ask questions.
All right, guys, we're going to cut out for today. This was a fast one. Thoughts for the day. Nothing is impossible. The word itself, I'm possible, right? The word itself says I'm possible. Yeah.
Yep.
You know who said that? Audrey Hepburn.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that part. Okay. And the happiness of your life depends on the quality of your thoughts.
I thought that was pretty.
Isn't that a nice one too? Okay. So
we are ending on
a nice note. Positive. After all that Uber stuff where we're getting driving ourselves crazy.
Going to blows.
That's right. Tune in next week to The Best of Investing. We're going to be giving away more free prizes for answering trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm Edward Brown, wishing you the best of investing. So long.
You've been listening to The Best of Investing with Edward Brown. For more information on this program, call 888-912-1190. That's 888-912-1190. Or visit bestofinvesting.com. And join us again next week for The Best of Investing on the Bay Area's business leader, AM 1220 KDLW.
This radio broadcast is in no way an offer to sell securities except where applicable in states where we are registered or where an exemption or exclusion from such registration exists. Information discussed during this broadcast, whether stock quotes, charts, articles, or any other statement or statements regarding market or other financial information, is obtained from sources which we believe are reliable, but we do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. Nothing in this broadcast should be interpreted to state or imply that past results are an indication of future performance. There are no warranties expressed or implied as to accuracy, completeness, or results obtained from this broadcast.